You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring
Doug. Good morning, good morning.
Nice.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, make sure you check out all of our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts.
Yes. And this month, because it's February, we are debuting our new logo. So definitely go check that out on our social medias as well.
Yes.
And check out our website, www.limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yes. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. So it is February.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That came very slowly. January felt like it just kept going.
Yeah. It always does, yeah. I think.
It just stretched. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But we're here. Yeah. We're in February. And
we are
doing straight to VHS princess editions. But before we get to that, there was like a piece of Disney news I wanted to talk about.
Was it related to Star Wars? Because I've seen an announcement about that recently.
Well,
a couple Star Wars things. Two Star Wars things.
The one Star Wars thing I saw was it is official. We talked about it like at the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. It is official. Kathleen Kennedy is stepping down. It's funny. I saw like a montage video of like stuff she promised she would do, but then she like went against it. I don't know. Someone put this like video together of like this.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. And that I saw. What's the other one? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
I think this is coming from Disney, but I should probably double check. But the thing that I saw is that they're, I don't know if George Lucas is returning to have more impact or if they're just bringing back, they're taking what his original ideas were for 7, 8, and 9 and doing things with that.
Oh,
so
interesting.
That's what I saw. Now I probably should have checked if that was like officially Disney release or if that was just a rumor. So don't freak out if I'm wrong, because you know I'm just.
Yeah, I mean Disney can change it a drop of a hat, even if they
even if it's
it.
Official, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, what I saw was a reel I sent Sammy of Dr. Phil. I thought it was interesting. I wanted to talk about Dr. Phil. Did a whole like reel. Did you watch it?
I don't think you sent that to me.
I definitely did. You watched the other ones, but I guess you didn't watch that one. So
where did
like
you
three.
Send it to me?
At the same time I sent the other two that you reacted to.
Yeah, but was it on Facebook or Instagram?
No, it was
or
Instagram. Instagram?
Instagram? Are you
I
sure?
I don't know. It was one
or
the other. Might have been Facebook. But Dr. Phil was tearing Disney apart because they are backpedaling on all their woke stuff. And he was literally in this video telling Disney, like, I told you so. I told you, like, listening to the loudest voices, because loudest voices was going to just totally destroy you. And now because you finally realize that they are not the majority and they're just the minority and the loudest, you are backpedaling and getting rid of a bunch of like quote unquote woke things that have hurt you. So if you guys haven't looked, I'll repost it on, or I'll share it on our Instagram story, but it's funny to watch Dr. Phil literally like pull Disney apart about the DEI stuff. And he's right, though. He's completely right. Like, they did not cater to everyone. Disney's supposed to be a equal opportunity, and all they did was cater to these little minority areas, and it totally shut the rest of us out when it came to, like, movies and stuff. I'm not talking... I like some of the stuff that came out, but I'm talking the majority of America has said, I'm done with Disney because of this, this, and this. Because you can go way too extreme on DEI stuff, and they did on some of the areas.
I don't think it's really about extreme. I think it's sacrificing story for message.
Yes.
Yes, no. That's I was trying to think of how to word it. That's exactly what I was trying to think. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the production side. So I'm not going to pretend to know anything about what the process of it actually like. But from the receiving end, it felt like the goal was quantity over quantity. So pushing a lot of content out as fast as possible. And it wasn't given enough time to really like flesh it out. But again, I'm a consumer, so I'm not going to say I know exactly what, you know, like I don't work in that industry, so I don't know what the, you know.
No, and none of us work in that industry.
To be honest with you, I'm booming with a lot of what's been coming out in the last few years. So
there's not great stuff in over a year. But I mean, we might not work in the industry, but we are their consumer. You said we're the consumers. And if they're putting these things together that we do not like, they're not going to make money. Like they kind of have to cater to a range of consumers, just not a boutique type of consumer. Honestly, we have the loudest voice when we don't go to things.
But I don't even think it's that. I think it is more, in my opinion, the more what Dan was saying. I do think they're just putting out things that are just not high quality. Regardless, you know, whether it's on TV or movies or whatever, but that's the whole industry is doing that. And I think the strike really messed some stuff up because that's a whole nother thing to not get into.
But has there been another strike?
Well, there's one that could be pending because their negotiations are coming up again. But the strike that did happen pushed everything behind. And I think at some point they were just trying to get stuff out, you know, whatever content they could. Instead of dialing it back and giving us something good.
You would think that they would want to make sure it's good content and so they can make money. Whereas they had enough stuff. I mean, we have enough media that they could recycle some of their stuff on these sites, couldn't they? Like, they're already making money off of these other shows that are getting replayed and replayed by Netflix and Amazon and all these places where they couldn't make money again from us rewatching things. Until now.
Yeah, but streaming is its own beast. So, yeah. It's a mess.
Fun stuff. But, yeah. So, Kathleen Kennedy stepped down. Disney's going to start changing some of their stuff again. There's also a rumor they're going back to hand-drawn media, which I really hope they do. I hope that rumor is actually real because... Dear Lord, I miss our animation from the 90s.
Yeah.
I do.
It's an art form. Because
all the princesses look...
Yeah, it's really an art form that's special within itself. And what I like about it is that it's not... Like, it came out in the 90s, but it's not, like, exclusive to the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, you could look at it and you could pick it up in any time period. And it would still still look good, you know? Like, it is very timeless. Yeah, like the new stuff. Yeah. It's like, I feel like... Like, a lot of the animation, like, I look at all the animation from, like, the 50s up to, like, the 2000s. And, like, the stuff that feels the most timeless is the stuff that came out in the 90s and the stuff that came out in, like, the late, I keep thinking of the original Cinderella. Because, like, even though it came out in, like, 59 or whatever, it still looks pretty magical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
And I like all the styles. Like, you know, but you know, those two are the ones that feel like the most, you know, they really stand out the most to me.
Yeah, some of the 80s quality. Animation is good too. Mm-hmm. Like you got the Fox and the Hound animation, yeah. And Robin Hood and Rescuers.
Yeah. That's
Little Mermaid. Yeah.
I think the Rescuers is probably my favorite animation style personally. Like mm-hmm. the first Rescuers, it's like the kind of the gritty one from the 70s that also like is that very like watercolored style. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That one and then 101 Dalmatians. I can watch that movie like all day long.
Oh, I love that animation.
Sleek, jazzy, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has the very vibe of the era. Mm-hmm.
The beatnik vibe.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of animation, I saw this on Instagram reel, like a piece of a Disney documentary. Did you know that they had a hot character forum or something with like 50 plus women looking at like hundreds of different drawings for Flynn Rider. No,
and that's they, so like, funny though.
These women like went through and helped them put together Flynn.
That's great.
Why not?
I saw that and I laughed.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, they wanted a smoldering rogue.
Mm-hmm. They did a great job.
That's a good way to find it.
He's like 50% Aladdin, 50% Nathan Fillion.
Huh. Yeah.
No, literally. Like, yeah, he's like, it's the character of Aladdin played by Nathan Fillion.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good descriptor.
That's a great descriptor. I would have, mm-hmm. Aladdin made sense to me, but I never would have thought of Nathan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then actually, there's rumors of the live action for Tangled. Why they're still doing live actions, I don't understand. But apparently, there's been some potentially casted people for that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, when that becomes official, we'll talk about it. I think one of them, the guy who's going to play Flynn, is actually like a Disney Channel star. So we're kind of, which is kind of cool because I know of him and I think he would be good.
Cool.
He has that like easygoing, like smolder smile, like just he's charming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of charming,
mm-hmm.
we actually get a personality today with Prince Charming.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's a pretty, well, he's a kind of.
Sort of.
Well, he has more than like two lines. Yeah,
That's what it is. Yeah, he actually talks. Yeah.
Yes. Especially in the third
one. How did I find you? Wait, please wait. That's the extent of the man's dialogue in the first one.
Right? Okay.
He does more with his facial expression and his eyes in the first one. And is like...
I'm not gonna lie. In the first one, he kind of creeped me out a little bit just because he had nothing there. It's literally just a face. And he just kind
of... He had more lines than the prince in Snow White.
Yeah.
That was even worse.
Yeah.
I
only saw that a long time ago. I don't remember much of Snow White.
Yeah. It's funny because they did Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and then Cinderella. Snow White, the prince, literally says nothing. Yeah. He just rides by. Sleeping Beauty, you get a prince with a whole personality and the charm, and he sings, and it's Philip. I love
him. I remember him being pretty cool.
Well, Philip will always be one of my prince, my Disney prince crushes.
Yeah, he's more well-developed.
So well-developed. And then you go, and then it's like they digressed and went to Prince Charming, where he said, like, two lines.
What is his name? He has a name. He does have a name, right?
Prince Charming.
It's
Cinderella.
He's got a first name, right?
No,
he's Prince Charming.
He is just Prince Charming.
They don't name him.
People have made up names for him in other iterations of Cinderella, but in the reality of the story that was passed down and written, he is just Prince Charming.
His father and his father's trusted advisor have more personality than he does.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
This is true. I love his father.
Oh my God.
His name is Henry, if that helps. Henry? His name is Henry.
King Henry.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Like, the whole sequence between the king and the Grand Duke in the first one, I could probably just watch, like, I could watch that alone just on repeat and just, like, laugh hysterically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
He's not much interested in one of them, isn't he? Isn't he? Yes, sire.
Oh, well, the great thing is we get them in, I don't know, did we get them in the first one? Yes, we get the King and Grand Duke in the first.
They show up in pretty much all of these.
Two. Yeah, they show up in all of them, and they're still their kooky, loving selves, so they didn't lose that, which is nice. So today, our main topic is we are talking about Cinderella 2, Dreams Come True, and Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time? A Twist in Time, yes. So Cinderella 2 came out in 2002. The summary is the sequel isn't a single continuous story. It's an anthology film made up of three short segments all tied together by the mice trying to finish Cinderella's storybook. So the three different ones is aimed to please. This is where Cinderella struggles to balance palace life with staying true to herself as the new princess. You got Tall Tale, where Gus attempts to prove he can be brave and responsible on his own. Oh, Gus. And then the third one, which I thought was really weird and interesting, was an uncommon romance where Anastasia unexpectedly falls in love, forcing Cinderella to question what happily ever after really means. The movie leans more slice of life than fairy tale epic and focuses on adjustment, growth, and small personal wins rather than the big magical moments. Cast of characters, Jennifer Hale voiced Cinderella for us. Corey Burton voiced the king. Andre, I'm not even going to try, Grand Duke. Susan Blakeslee is Lady Tremaine. Holland Taylor is Prudence. Frank Welker is Gus. And then there's other ones, but they're not very well. Apparently, these are well-known names, which I know, like, two of them. Behind the scenes, produced during Disney's direct-to-video sequel era, and that was very much the 2000s was the direct-to-sequel era, when speed and cost mattered more than theatrical quality. Yes, these are not theatrical quality movies. They are good for, like, watching this one. I'm like, okay, this is one I would put in front of, like, my 5 or 6 year old or 4 or 5 year old to, like, learn some good truths. Learn some good messages. This is like the PBS version. This is Disney PBS. What this is for me.
It definitely is.
The anthology structure reflects that it was originally planned as a TV project, later reworked into a feature, which doesn't surprise me.
I mean, they had the Little Mermaid and Aladdin TV shows for Did they do a Little Mermaid TV show? Was it? Because I remember directed. So it's like it makes sense they set up that for Cinderella as well.
Animation quality varies noticeably between segments. Yes, some of the segments, you can tell the animation's different. And the Anastasia storyline stands out the most emotionally interesting, is often cited as the film's strongest part. And it is, in my opinion. I thought that that was the most interesting storyline of the three segments.
Which one?
Anastasia.
The last one,
Her falling in love with the baker's son.
The baker.
It was so cute.
She's got more to her than we realize. Poor Anastasia. She's not all bad.
Yeah, I liked that.
Part of me, like, next time I'm at Disney and I see the stepsisters out and about, I really want to go up to Anastasia and be like, Anastasia, how's the baker? And see if their character even knows. And we'll talk more about Anastasia here in a minute. But the rating, IMDb gave it a 5 out of 10, which honestly was higher than I thought they would give it. Generally considered one of Disney's weaker sequels, which I would agree. Often criticized for pacing, uneven animation, low stakes, blah, blah, blah. What do you guys think of the anthology Dreams Come True?
I didn't hate it, to be honest. Like, I didn't. I think it's just because I went in with very, very low expectations because it's a princess movie. So I'm just like, you know, I'm not really expecting anything epic. But I don't know. There's a part of me that, after seeing the first one many, many, many years ago, always wondered, what happened to these people? What happened after Happily Ever After? You know, is she still friends with Gus and Jack? Or what kind of person is the prince? And what are their day-to-day activities? So I don't know. I think it was kind of cool to actually see a little bit of what that looks like. And I don't know. I think it's just because of the last decade of, you know, world ending events when it comes to movies and IRL in general. Like, part of me appreciates just little slice of life stories. It's like, oh, you know, a little one and done, You know, what are these people up to? Mm-hmm. What's their, you know, it's good to know they're out there. They're just out there. You know, they're still living life. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good for kids, mm-hmm. which is the point, right?
Yes.
Of the movies are not for us. So even though I found it a bit dull and hard to get through, that's not really a comment on it because it's not aimed at me. I'm not the target audience, you know? Yeah. So I think for kids, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the first one was nice. Like the aim to please was cool to see like how Cinderella is adapting to being a princess and
it's a big difference.
That sort of thing. So it's cool to see that. I just love seeing Gus. So it was fun, even though, again, it's duller on the side, but fun to see Gus doing his thing. And then Anastasia. There's always a lot of adaptations of Cinderella have at least one sister where she's actually not really evil. She's actually really just wants to be loved. Ever After has it. There's another one. I can't think of the name, but there's a couple of them. And it's cool to see that that this actually happens in our actual Disney Cinderella. Like Anastasia's really not evil. She really just wants to find someone to love her because she doesn't get that from her mother. She doesn't get that from her sister.
No.
So it was cool to see Anastasia's growth, at least one of the sisters grow through all of this, through this one and in the next one. Anastasia's a huge part of the next one as well, which I love.
I did like that.
Yeah. So let's jump into it. Let's jump into the next one. Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. I will admit I like this one more. I thought they did very well with this sequel. This film goes, I don't know why they said this film goes hard compared to, goes hard, like goes better. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm like, what is this language?
No, not even I know that. Jeez. Get rid of it. 6-7.
You're banned. Mute him.
So freaking obnoxious.
Don't be a middle schooler.
I never said I was in middle school. I just recognize the power of 6-7, and I don't fight it.
That's all my middle school.
I don't understand.
You're not supposed to understand. It's nothing to understand. It's just a dumb thing. It's like, look at it as like Rick rolled. You can't beat where Rick rolled, so you just have to laugh at it. You can't beat 6-7. You just have to laugh at it. It's the new Rick rolled.
Okay.
Whatever. So this film apparently goes hard compared to Cinderella 2. Lady Tremaine steals Fairy Godmother's wand. She rewrites history, preventing Cinderella from ever trying on the glass slipper. Prince Charming never finds Cinderella. Anastasia set up as his bride. And the entire timeline unravels. I mean, it's a good premise. I mean, Anastasia turns the Fairy Godmother to stone, and Lady Tremaine's like, oh, I know what to do with this.
I know
like,
how we're going to fix this.
It's a great villain story.
She's a great villain. Even just like when she's got power, she's, you know.
Yeah. So Cinderella has to escape capture. Like, she literally almost get put on a boat and sent away forever. She has to convince the prince of their real love. So you got true love thing going on here. Yeah. And then you got to restore the original timeline before it's permanent. This is essentially a Disney what if alternative timeline story. This is like one of their first, I believe, with higher stakes, sharper humor, and much stronger narrative dialogue. So same people, Jennifer Hale, Cinderella. We get a lot more of the prince. We get a lot more Prince Charming. His the voice is Christopher Daniel Barnes. Suzanne is still Lady Tremaine. Tress McNeil is Anastasia. Rob Paulson is Jacques, and Corey Burton is the King. Another considered one of Disney's best direct-to-video sequels.
I mean, it's better than. There's not a big standard there.
I think the Return of Jafar is still better.
Because I'm thinking, I'm like.
It's not going to beat out Aladdin,
The King of Thieves is probably the top two, in my opinion. And then probably next would be Mulan 2. No, sorry. Simba's Pride.
Oh. Yeah, then Simba.
I remember liking that one.
Yeah.
But, like, Simba's Pride
is okay. It's like a classic. I don't know.
With Coco,
it was fine. You know what? Maybe I have to watch it again. I saw it once when I was like 9, and I didn't care for it. But maybe I had too much expectations.
9-year-old Dan.
I watched the first one religiously, like literally every single day. And it was so blended in my brain that I had that level of expectations. So when I didn't get that, I was kind of let down. But maybe if I watch it again, maybe I'll have a different thought on it.
I can see this being in the top 10, but there's only been like 15.
Well, yeah.
There's not.
I don't know if it's like the best. Like, Disney, that. Anyways, stronger animation, tighter writing, more dynamic character work. Lady Tremaine becomes a full villain antagonist, not just a passive obstacle. Mm-hmm. I did not find her scary in first movie. I did not think. I did not.
Crap out of
She is no Maleficent.
She's not. She's more like threat ambiguity. Like, you know, she's capable of really bad stuff, but she doesn't actually do anything. But you just, anytime you see that, it's her face. She has that face where you just see her in the shadows.
She has a great face for that.
I think what it is, she's not. She's human. She's human.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's exactly. Realistic.
Like Maleficent, okay, she's scary, but she's like a weird demon witchy creature thing.
She's fae.
Okay, yeah, that she's that
witchy creature thing.
I don't know. She just never scared me in the first one. Like, I just found her mean. I wasn't scared of her. I was more scared of Cruella.
I always like
Cruella.
Cruella's a real person.
I was afraid of her hurting my dog.
Yeah, but I didn't have dogs growing up. So.
Well, I mean, everyone has flaws, you know. So
that flaw is not acceptable around my house. You do not hurt dogs. But she took on more of a villain antagonist. Mm-hmm. She was scary in this one to me. I'm like, oh, we do not want Tremaine with a wand. Someone, can you get that, please?
Yeah. Please. No, Ursula ain't got nothing on her.
And I love how Jock and Gus get the key for the drawer for the wand, just like they got the key to get her out of the... I'm like, oh, we're reusing some things. Got it.
Yes.
And Anastasia receives a redemption arc, which retroactively improves Cinderella 2 for many fans. And then the prince is given more personality, humor, and emotional agency. I will say, though, that his animation was better in the original Cinderella than in the Cinderellas. He just looks very, like, too polished. I'm like, I'm sorry. You're too perfect right now. Your facial, it's just too perfect. Like, no.
It's like, I don't trust you. I don't trust that little look pretty.
I don't. This got between a 6 and a 6.5 on IMDb. It was surprisingly positive. Frequently called a hidden gem. Pretty sure bold premise, villain focus, and emotional payoff.
Sweet.
And I think we're all in agreement that this is an actual sequel and Cinderella 2 is probably more like bonus content.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Well, because
there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah, because technically this one, well, they both continue the timeline, but they do different things with timelines. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Chad GPT tried to give us some questions that we can discuss with that go along with it.
So,
the question at the end is it's always the timeless question. Is La Fate choice or memory? Memory's new.
Yeah. I like this concept. I've seen this concept played with before, where, like, somebody's memory's wiped, but, like, instinctively they still recognize.
Right, they still go to their person.
51st dates.
Yeah, there's been several. We haven't talked about it, but Dollhouse played with this a lot. The show Dollhouse.
Oh, yeah, we didn't make it to Dollhouse.
Yeah, we didn't make it to Dollhouse.
We tried.
Yeah. I've always been in the camp that love is a choice. But I think it also can be a memory if there's, like... Because, like, you see it in... they played with this in Notebook. The Notebook, Nicholas Sparks, trying to help his wife, who has Alzheimer's, who's lost her memory, to remember him and to remember their love.
Yeah.
So I agree with, like, choice and memory. I don't agree with fate. I used to as a child, but Fate just is, I don't know. I just don't see that people are fated. It might also be because fated is used way too much in my fantasy books. So it just overused. Mm-hmm. That might be a personal, like.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, jury's out for me on
I would agree with
jury's out for me on fate. I mean, I don't know. I've had a lot of weird coincidences in my life that tend to make me think, I don't know, maybe. But when it comes back to the choice versus memory thing, I've come around to the idea that it's both. Because, like, you know, because there has to be initially something there, at least to begin with. Like, you have to feel something. Right, right. But, like, life happens and, like, feelings come and go or whatever. But, like, when, you know, on those times when those feelings cool off a little bit, that's when you make the choice. You know, you continue to choose this person, you know.
100%.
It's like, you know, you play the same thing to yourself. Like, there's days where, I don't know if y'all deal with this, but some days you just don't really like yourself. That's when you choose yourself, you know. Same with your partner. Some, you know, you continually make the choice, you know. But there has to be something driving that choice. So, you know, that's kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of like him, okay, on too.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, I don't remember if you remember this talk in I don't remember any chapel that we ever went to.
I remember a few.
None of them stick out to me except for one. And it was Dr. Hackett, and he was talking about love, and I think it was Valentine's Day. 1 year, and he was talking about this. He's like, because he told us his story about him and his wife, and they like fell out of love, but they decided to choose each other every day, and like they rebuilt that love through choice and things. That one stuck out to me the most, and that's where I think in college when I finally realizes, okay, Disney with, yes, I love Disney, but this faded love that Disney has portrayed isn't real life. And Dr. Hackett in college helped me see, like, it. We might be fated to meet. Like, Brett and I do believe that we were meant to meet in one way or another.
Yeah, because
there was too
that.
Many things going on where it was like, it was a fated moment. I was getting ready to stop dating, and there he was on my screen. But even though there was a fated moment, I had to make a choice if I was going to message him or if I was going to do what I told Sammy I was going to do and finish out.
Exactly.
So I think one thing about this question that everyone does is like puts them in like, oh, you have to choose one. It's like, what it's if all it's it. All of it?
Yeah. It is all of it. I think
you
so.
You got to participate too. Oh, here it is.
What just happened?
Oh no, I don't know what's happening. Why are you barking?
Apparently the devil agrees.
Hold on. What are you barking about?
Is that the devil
about?
Or is that someone else?
I don't know.
I mean,
fate has come for me. It has come for me. What are you barking at? Shut up. Shut up. Shush, there's nothing out there. There's nothing to bark at, bro. Are you barking at Raven? Raven's not even doing anything.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. It's like he's arguing with you.
Wait, he might go. Are you going to go lay down? Please. Please, this has been such a struggle. Could you please just...
We've had such a struggle today.
Oh, geez Louise.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, that's the only chapel I remember.
That was a good one.
Is
Harry
talking about that? Well, and I guess I do remember the other. There was like, do you remember our freshman year when they split us up for Valentine's Day and the guys went and talked and with Rutledge and we had female.
I think you're going to say, I probably said the same thing. Go for it.
I wasn't going to say what Rutledge said, but I know about it. I'm talking about that. That was your guys's. No, we had a talk from this lady who didn't meet the love of her life until she was like almost 50. And that one I remember because that one scared the crap out of me. And that's not a strong enough word. I would use other words, but, you know, family friendly. Sadly, I did not. I did. It kind of happened. I didn't meet the love of my life till much, much later in life.
It's still not 50, though.
So, yeah, that one's... No, thank goodness it wasn't 50. But it was a lot later than I wanted to. Yeah. But it was worth it.
Yeah. There's no time limits. Like, the only time limit is, like... The only time limit you have is the one where you're in the ground. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're alive, you have time.
That is true.
So, you know, we decided to do this to ourselves. Like, by this time you gotta have this, by this time you gotta have this. Forget that, you know? Life doesn't work that way. It doesn't have to work that way. Make life on your terms.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I agree when with you that, make 100%. It work that way, that's when you marry the wrong person or in a loveless marriage your whole life. Yep.
Yes. Yes. And before Lucifer started barking excessively, I do agree with everything. I do think fate may bring you together, but it is a choice, like you said, to follow through on it and to stay with them. And just like you said, like, I know the story about falling out of love and then they worked it out. But I mean, like, the problem too with Disney is that, you know what? Every day is not that exciting. Okay. Yeah. You're not getting rescued on horseback or going to the castle or whatever it is in a Disney movie. So, you know, it's boring. I mean, there's a lot of boring days, right? Like, you're just going to work, you're doing whatever, but you have to choose to see past that. Right. And then, you know, if you're in a rut, then you figure out how to get out of it, like make it special. So yeah, I think that is all of it.
If the grass is greener on the other side, water your own grass.
I like
to an extent, and there's nuance to that too, because like if you're in a situation where the grass is poisoning you, then yes, get away from the grass. I don't misinterpret. Please don't misinterpret that. I'm not saying don't stay in a place where you're getting hurt. Don't do that.
No. The example I gave guys from our professor, it was not a toxic like they were hurting themselves in any way relationship. So that's why I think they were able to figure it out. But there are circumstances that even as a Christian who believes that divorce is really not, shouldn't be an option for just every day because you feel like it. That's my own opinion. Everyone has their own. Don't think I'm trying to tell you otherwise of whatever you want to believe. But if there's certain situations, like if something happened in my marriage where there was any sort of violence or any sort of toxicity or poison, you best believe I'm going to go against my religious beliefs and get out of it to save myself. So don't stay in a bad situation.
No,
please, please, please. Whoever's listening.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. That went down a dark road. There was something else I wanted to ask when it came to these movies and I can't remember now. Crud. Oh, not ask, point out. You love how Disney normally does true love's kiss to break the spell. Yeah. This one was true love's hand touch.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was so weird.
I guess they were looking to switch it up. I don't know.
It was so odd.
I mean,
like, I don't understand it.
I don't know. I think there's something kind of, what's the word? Innocent? Wholesome? I don't know. There's something a lot more accessible. Because, like, I don't know, middle schoolers probably aren't going to be kids. Or maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know what kids do.
I didn't.
Middle schoolers? Well, oh, for sure.
Wish I did. And my first kiss, I was 22.
We knew lots of middle schoolers who did that.
None of them were in a situation I was, but whatever, it's fine. Anyway,
Dan, you don't like the situations that we know of because we were there and watched it happen. It wasn't us. Be a part of those situations.
Yeah, and it wasn't us. I promise.
No. My father? No. Heck no.
Ashley was like not allowed to look at boys.
I wasn't allowed to slow dance at dances.
Oh, you had dances?
We used to try and plot that.
You didn't go to a public school.
I had a dance the weekend of my graduation. That was the only dance that I ever had. And I did get, to be fair, I did get to slow dance. So, you know, I got the experience. I got the entire experience that I got everything that I possibly would have wanted out of a high school experience in 3 days. I don't know, man. Well,
that is a movie being waited.
It's in there somewhere.
It really is, honestly. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a coming of age movie or book right there.
Yep.
It really is.
Yeah, no, my first kiss was, I mean, it was still younger than you, Dan, sorry. I think I was 14 when Bobby and I had our first kiss. Yeah, 14. was at a Christmas dance.
Aw, that's cute.
I forgot about the Christmas dance.
While we were slow dancing. Honestly, I was shocked we didn't get in trouble. Yeah, and he was my first boyfriend. He was my longest relationship until Brett. Is that, if that tells you anything?
I mean, you know, you know what feels good. You know yourself.
Oh no, he went to a different school, so we didn't see each other every day, so we never fought.
Oh,
we never had any of the issues a high schooler relationship would have.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we were not seen all the drama that we saw with everybody else. Yes.
Yeah.
No. Well, there you go.
We were in different schools and we couldn't drive yet, so it was a very innocent like 9 months.
That it was.
It was. And then had the idiots afterwards. I should have known, Sammy, not to let Aubrey set me up. Junior year.
There's a lot of things that I would go back and say, like, don't worry about this. It's fine. You know? It's fine.
I'm like,
yeah, we had some interesting friends in middle school and high school.
It was a time. It was a time.
Yes,
Danny, there was a reason I was very mousy and very like insecure. It was mostly because of the people we hung out with in high school, not Sammy. Sammy and I, like, we have come to the conclusion that one friend made sure that we were never very close. Because she monopolized Sammy's time. Like, she didn't want Sammy to be close with anyone but her.
Why are people like that? I don't understand that. It's like, it's bad enough when people are like that in romantic relationships. I don't understand that in platonic relationships, like friendships. I don't understand that.
I didn't realize it until like senior year when Sammy and I finally we've always been friends. Like we have been friends for a long time, but like we realized a bunch of crap senior year and we're like, oh, we're cutting this out. And that's when we realized
right
like,
at the end.
Oh, we really should have. We wish we would have found out sooner because it would have been so much better for us in high school.
Yeah.
Just to have us too.
I wonder if. Well, it's weird because Aurora and I were talking about this the other day. Like, I wonder if, like, if that a middle school thing, a high school thing, or is that just like, because I don't know any dude friendships who are like this. Is this, are women more prone to this, or is this, I don't know if this is a guy thing, or just monopolizing friendships like that? I don't know.
I think it's a woman thing.
I really do. As much as I hate to say it, but I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's guys out there that do that, but like, I haven't had any experience of guy. Like, if there's a dude that I haven't seen in a while, I'm just like, yo, hey, get your butt over here, hang out with me. Are you busy? Okay, well, let's set up a time. All right, later, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot more drama.
Yeah,
involved.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I'm trying to even think. Like, was there any of it in? I mean, there was some of it in college with. Not our group, Dan, but, like, one of the girl groups that I hung out with, like, outside of our group. We had some of that, and it's just, it's a woman thing. You got to find the right females in your life that are not going to, like, tell you you can't have other friends, but still know that you're really close. Like, I have a very select group of girls that I still hang out with and talk to. Of course, Samantha's one of them. Holly's another one of them. And then my roommate from Fort Wayne, Megan, and Alex now. And I just found another one. Her name's Stephanie. We are book besties. She and I both love to read. But anywho, we were off topic again.
Yes, we did get a bit off topic.
We did. And like probably 10 minutes of this episode is Dan trying to figure out his computer.
Yeah. It's either Dan sitting around or us sitting around listening to Lucifer bark. So yes.
That too. for our Pixie Dusters listening, if you have kids, we would recommend Cinderella 2 and 3 for them.
Yeah.
If they are in their princess era, not everyone loves princesses, that's fine. But for adults, just don't do it. Don't do it unless you want to be nostalgic.
It's all right.
As we all do, we all want to be nostalgic. That's like our generation's MO.
Yes,
we're stuck in the 90s.
I'd say our
generation is that way. Yes,
and early 2000s.
The 90s. I don't think we're stuck there. I think we're grieving that time because we're.
I think that is probably better.
We've been
grieving
the 90s since we got out of college.
I
kind of got away from that for the most part. I haven't been really focused on that until maybe the last 2 or 3 years or so. during most of the 2010s, I was pretty focused on like the future and, you know, where I was. But nowadays I'm like, you know, starting to kind of look at that time as like, wow, none of that exists anymore. Nothing about that time exists anymore. Like literally nothing. Even the people who are still alive, they're not the same. Or you don't, you know, it's weird. It's weird. Yeah. Yep. Very weird.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
There's been a lot of like millennials doing TikToks about how they wish, why they, like, how do they put it? Like they were stupid for wanting, for saying they wanted to grow up and be adults and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, you guys were idiots because I was the millennial who said, please do not let me grow up. Let me stay here as long as possible. My parents know it too. They're like, yeah, you did not want to grow up. I'm like, nope, still don't. Mm-hmm. There's a, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's
okay. I have my Disney.
I mean, we were sort of sold this world where we were supposed to meet all these things and have all these accomplishments and all these milestones and everything. And we graduated into a world where that's not as possible or as easy to access or is just not what it claimed it was. And we're sort of grappling with that.
Yeah.
And then the generation below us, they weren't even given the promise. So they were born into the cynicism. You know?
Right.
So it's like, it's a very different type of mourning, very different type of grief, yeah.
You got the Gen X behind us.
Everything.
Who they do. But honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm them. Like, I feel like a Gen Xer sometimes. I'm like, guys
can
just
relate
to
a lot of
it's fine.
What they, yeah, yes. I mean, we can relate to a lot of what Gen X went through, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we didn't have internet in the house until high school.
Yeah.
And even then, we could barely be on it because it took up our phone line.
Yeah. Like, very limited time.
There was maybe like three of us who had cell phones in our high school.
Yeah, when we started training. Having a phone was like, you had a phone, you were like, not popular, but like you were moving up in the world. It was like a luxury to have.
It's like, don't say popular because I had a phone and I was not popular.
I did too. But like you were considered, it was a status symbol. If you had a phone, it was kind of a status symbol among the peasants who didn't have a phone.
Well, in our high school, you couldn't even have the phone in the school. Like if they found out you had it, you got in trouble.
Yeah, it was like big thing.
So like, but I had to make sure it was off in my bag because Dad said if I left that thing in the car and it got stolen, I was screwed. So Daddy was a little scary back then. He's not anymore. He's a teddy bear now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was okay. It's fine. He's much better. He's about to retire and he's super excited.
I'm sure he is.
Oh my gosh. He literally has a countdown. I've never seen him have a countdown. He knows the exact months and days and almost time of when he's
done. What's he going to do when he's retiring? What's he going to do?
They're going to travel. They're gonna pack up their RV and go camp some places. I think Mom wants to shove him over to the East Coast and see some of that area. What else are they? We're planning a big trip in January, February down to Florida for the whole family. So there's that. They have a bunch of projects. They're still trying to decide if they're going to move or if they're going to just build onto their current house. And I'm hoping they just build onto the current house because if they move, they want to get land. And I'm like, I don't want to. Because when you get old and can't do it, that means I have to come do it, and I don't want to do it. So just stay where you are.
Yes, it's good to have land, buddy.
So they're probably. They don't need. Dad's
he's gonna
not
sit down.
On
his, he's gonna get in a house and he's gonna sit down on his little rocking chair with his lemonade and just it's good to have land.
He used to have land, and that's why he misses it. But I'm like, Dad, you were also in your
30s,
40s, and 50s when you could
exactly
do
it's a
all this
time
work.
Frame.
You are literally starting to fall apart.
You're too old. You're too old. Can't
he got
it.
Offended when I told him that we were gonna hire movers when we finally move out of this apartment. Because he's moved me every single time. I'm like, Dad,
there's a limit.
He has fallen on ice and had to go to the hospital because he had a minor concussion. He has almost cut off his leg while he was working on equipment in the field. HR at his job has told him, you are not allowed to be in the field or you're done because we can't deal with you killing yourself before you retire. So he's just, he just needs to stop.
Yes. He needs to calm down.
He's like my grandpa Krager, which is his father. And
that's why
grandpa
like
did not stop either.
That's why he's like men.
That's what we do. We just survive. We like the pain because it makes us strong, which is the lie we believe, because it actually makes us weaker.
Okay, we need to wrap up and move on.
I'm not wrong, it's true.
Probably.
I know, but that, true, we're going to end on that note. Pixie Dusters, have a great week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.